Jeremiah chapter number 12, tonight, book of Jeremiah chapter number 12. And let's begin reading the very first verse here. As of right now, I'm going to read down to verse number 5. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herb of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last day. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? If thou in the land of peace, whence thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much. We can gather tonight. I pray that as we have done so, that you would be glorified. I pray that our hearts might be drawn to you. Lord, I know tonight there are some who are discouraged. I know tonight there are some who face problems. I know there's all sorts of needs. And Spirit of God, you're the one who can meet those needs, and you're the one who can do what's needed in every heart and life. We ask you to do that, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If we were to take an overview of this chapter, we would notice a few things. We read in the first five verses some interesting things, and basically what we find here, the prophet is greatly bothered that God in his providence has permitted the wicked to prosper. He says, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. See that in verse 1? Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Lord, why is it this is taking place? In verse number 2, he says, thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. He says, they talk about you even, but you don't have any guidance over them. You don't hold the reins of their lives. You don't take them from one spot to another. And then verse number 3, we find that he really has a great desire for them to have God's judgment upon their lives. He desires for that. And no wonder, he wonders how long they will last with all the wickedness in their lives. In verse number 4, he says, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? He says, how long is this going to keep on going? And then in verse number 5, it's God who answers. And he says, if thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How's that going to take place? It's intimated here that things are going to get worse. It seems as though he's saying, hey, listen, you haven't seen anything yet. There are greater trials that are going to come. By the way, we have young, we have old in here. Have you noticed, you who are older, that the trials don't get easier as life goes on? We would think maybe they do, but they don't. Young folks, have you noticed that the tests you take in school don't get easier every year? Have you noticed they get more complicated and more difficult? And there's some reason for all of that. But he's telling us, hey, listen, there's going to be greater things coming your way. These greater trials will come, he tells us in verse number 6, from deceitful brethren. For even thy brethren, says, in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. We'll not go into it, but the next several verses, 7 through 13, we find that he speaks of heavy judgments that does await the nation. And in the last few verses, he talks about his judgment hand, though it is there, it also extends to a hand of promise and a hand of renewal in their lives. There's always hope. Thank God for that. Now we look at this verse 5 and then I believe we find it to be a very profound verse. The answer of God to his inquiry is just, it strikes me very, very profoundly. Rather than promise an answer, God questions his endurance. Rather than saying, hey, listen, I'm going to take care of it, he says, Jeremiah, are you able to handle it? We go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, and verse 10. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. He's saying, Jeremiah, can't you handle it? The question is, how are you going to handle even greater enemies? How are you going to handle things that are more difficult than they have been? Let's look at present-day America. The lies, the cheating, the fraud, the rioting of this last year on a national scale is the worst in my lifetime. We find that there are those who promote abortion, pedophilia, large-scale theft. They call it looting. And did you know the city council in Seattle, they're actually discussing as to whether that ought to be considered a crime if you steal something and you can prove you need it. They were called leftists. I'll use the term Democrats. Now they are progressives. By the way, did you understand that progressive is a pseudonym for communism? It's a phrase that does not strike fear into us as the word communism. There were doctors of medicine in our nation, but now so many of them are puppets of a few who are telling them how to handle patients. They've got to jump through all kinds of hoops in order to deal with a patient. And sometimes patients die while doctors are doing what all of these bureaucrats have told them to do. Let me give you an example. Did you know, and I don't know what you've heard about it, but did you know that hydroxychloroquine has been proven effective for COVID-19? Did you know that? News media hasn't told you that, have they? They have said, well, it's not safe. When in fact, for 65 years, it's been used and it's been proven to be safe. And yet one now known to be false report about it, and a fellow by the name of Dr. Fauci, who's not a friend of our country, declared to be dangerous. Hospitals told their doctors not to use it, and many of them did and got fired. These are things that happen. There was a time that you would be prosecuted for jury tampering or vote tampering, but news media now turns a blind eye. If we've had problems with these footmen, how shall we contend with the horses? If we have sunk under small difficulties, what will we do when the big ones come our direction? The analogy, I believe, in this verse increases. And it goes on to say, if you had weariness from a land at peace, how in the world are you going to fare when the Jordan rises and the lions and the beasts are driven from their coverts and their hiding places and spread throughout the country and attack people? Years ago, I preached in a little town called Brewster. It's north of a town called Wenatchee. It's out in Washington. It is on the Columbia River. Just a mile or so north of Wenatchee, there is a dam that is one of several on the Columbia River. When that dam was finished and the water began to back up, it was told to me by a man in Brewster who owned a large orchard up there, apple orchard. He said the snakes came up like crazy, rattlesnakes. He said, you dare not go out in your orchard without some sort of weapon or so forth that you might take care of the danger that lie for you out there. That's what he's talking about in this analogy here in verse number 5. But let's really remember this. God never speaks to discourage us. So what's the good news? What's the good news? Let's think about it for a moment. If you're facing footmen, you're headed in the right direction. Amen? If you're facing the footman, you're going in the right direction. Listen, the devil, he's going to attack those who are, what, seeking to go in the right way. We are in a real battle with Satan. Most of our nation doesn't even see this because he doesn't attack the compliant and the compromisers, but he attacks those that are going in the opposite direction of himself. Do you understand that you and I, we believe in church. You and I, we believe in family. Do you understand the devil wants to destroy that? You and I believe in morality. He wants to destroy that. Look around, he's done a pretty good job, hasn't he? We're facing footmen, but let's be assured of this. We are headed in the right direction. Secondly, if you're facing the footmen, let's understand this. His armor will protect you. His armor covers everything except for the back because we are expected to stand and not to run. If you want to turn there, you can, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, I'm going to read a lengthy portion here. He says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's his trickeries. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." It's never to run, it's to stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." He's telling us, hey, listen, his armor will protect us. We are to stand in truth. We're to stand in the righteousness that he's placed upon us. The preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to stand in this realm of preaching and keep on preaching the word. We're to stand in our faith, knowing what we believe. We're to stand in believer's security. We're to stand in the word of God. And the last one we look at, we're to stand in this matter of praying. Keep on praying. It's not a time to quit. "If you run with the footmen and they have weary, then how shall thou contend with the horses?" How can we do that? Through the power of God. Amen? Through the power of God. When the horsemen come, God gives us something marvelous. It's more grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says in verse number 7, I'm going to read several verses again. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He's got a problem that's come from the devil himself, and he's asked God to take care of it. Notice what God says to him. Verse 9, he says, "Unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When the horsemen come, God gives us more grace. God gives us the ability in our weakness to be strong. Think about it for a moment. David was a shepherd boy out on the side of the mountain, and the bear came and he killed the bear, and later a lion came and he killed the lion, and then he stands before Goliath and he kills him. It got a little larger and a little larger, but I will suggest to you, they were but footmen in his life. Then the horsemen came into his life. One of them was named King Saul, the other was his son Absalom. And he was hunted now, not by just certain ones, but by whole armies. And yet he was the victor. He came out on top. Meeting the horsemen meant one thing. He'd gone through the footmen. He was getting closer to the goal. It meant they could see the strength of God more clearly. You see, when battle would take place in those days, it was the footmen who came first. And they would do all the damage they could, and those upon horses would come. In course of the strength of the horse and the height, they were able to really come down upon the opposing armies. And they were really feared. But you didn't have to deal with them until after the footmen. But if you got through them, you had the horsemen. What's it mean? You've gone through the footmen. You've had some progress. What's it also mean? It means that the strength of God can be even greater than ever before. Because God did not put us here to be those who lose. Don't put an L on your forehead. God put us here to be winners. Sometimes it don't seem like it. And sometimes it seems like we're on the wrong end of the stick. But keep on keeping on, amen? Keep on fighting. Keep on going forward. God has, I believe, some wonderful things for us. We keep plunging on forward. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this evening. We've had a marvelous privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I pray, oh God, that you might work and bless in every heart. Help us understand that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are well able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to do whatever it is that you want to be done. And Lord, though the enemy seems so large and so big and we seem so insignificant, you're not. And you're our God. And oh, how we thank you for that privilege. We pray that you might, as we go in days and weeks and years ahead, wherever it is you allow us in this life, we might go forth with hope, endurance, and strength, realizing that you are God and that we have already won the victory. Lord, we've read the last chapter. We know what it says, and we glory in that. We thank you for it. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.